Dr. Chittick, in your book, you talk about the possibility of anti-gravitational devices. Have there been any updates on that, any research that could be added to on that in your appendix?
In my book, I talk about anti-gravity devices to work against gravity. Gravity, as you know, probably is both an attractive and a repulsive force. And and we talk about how gravity was controlled in building the pyramids, and mentioned also, I think, some aircraft that were used. Has there been any update on that? Yes, there has been updated, and we have worked very diligently at getting that material. There's a new book out, just out, updating this. It's the Anti-Gravity Squadron and some of the other things by Leviolet. Don't start reading that book. You start and you can't quit. 24 hours just goes by, and you should go to bed to hear you're reading this book. And if I didn't get that correct, then you can ask my wife for more details on it. I got this book, right? And I started reading it. And the next day, it had disappeared. And it disappeared into my wife's knitting. So she says, I can read it too. It's very, very fascinating. Thank you. Yes, there has been an update on that. Misdocuments that. Thank you, yes.
I was wondering if they found those artifacts.
Have we found other artifacts that required skills?
Yes.
Yes, and I document that in my book. Yes, we have found very, very skilled things that they did in the past, and we find them we're finding more all the time. Yes, thank you. We do have different skills. God has given to us that. And as we read the Bible, where they talk about building the tabernacle and the skills that were required, and it mentions specific individuals that God gave a skill how to do that. And that's still true today. God is so good. That's why we need each other. Not all of us have all abilities in all areas, so we work together on it. Yes, thank you. Now, if you ask me a question, if it's an area where I have studied, I'll try my best to answer it. If it's an area where I haven't studied, I'll just have to tell you that I don't know, but I will try.
I want to thank you for your book. It's just it was a gem for me, and I went through your footnotes and read lots of your sources. It was fascinating. The one thing I wondered about was when I pulled up one of the resources on the Maya, and when you list the creation date of 4000 BC, it something didn't seem right because they've got this long time span understanding where there's successive creations and so on. So when I looked at the sources, I didn't see that date.
Did you look at Morley's work there on that resource? Morley, there were two resources. One of them that documents pretty thoroughly, he's a secular archaeologist. But in there he shows how they calculated and how this came about. And I could have written more and stuff, but I got tired. Thank you for that excellent observation. Yes, if you look at Morley's work, you'll find the documentation I think that you would like to have.
Their 4000 BC creation date isn't the ultimate creation date, is it? Because they believe that time happened before.
They believe that time went in cycles. That's correct. Very good observation. Thank you. Yes.
You mentioned that there was travel between Africa and South America. Were you suggesting that there was air travel between those two continents?
Oh my. We suggested there was travel between Africa and the South American continent. Am I suggesting that there was air travel between those two? No, I'm not. Hancock and others show that they had ships, and the ships that were designed were amazing. We have worked very hard even to come up to the level. Their ships that they carried big weights across the oceans with were fixed that they could come in real close to the beach and not get stranded. And they can read how they did that in Graham Hancock's book. And I do a little bit in my book as well. No, I think it was water travel for the heavy weights that they were using.
But there was air travel, because I've seen that wooden model of the little airplane and then your model there on the picture. Is there any evidence that they actually built the steel planes?
Thank you. He's talking about the little wooden model, which was found in Egypt, and it was made out of a wood glider-like thing, and it had exactly the model that modern engineers have been using for slow-speed, high-lift takeoff to lift heavy loads. And aeronautical engineers made models of this one, and it flew. And so how far they went or what they did, at this point, I'm still studying on it. It's very fascinating, but I'm not going to say publicly anything that I can't document. So thank you. That's a good point. One more question, and then I'm through.
Dr. Schwitaker, in God's charge to Adam, he said to have dominion over these cattle of the field, fowl of the air, fish of the sea. Now, one thing to hand the animals, cattle into cages on the earth, often wonder, and I wonder if you see any technological implications or if there's some other implications. How did early man have dominion over the fowl of the air and fish of the sea?
Question. God gave man dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and all the animals and so forth. How did he do that? We don't know, other than the scripture tells us, that every animal has been tamed. The one thing that hasn't been tamed is the human tongue. But the animals have. And I have seen some of these animals. They're awesome. They're smart. And they can do things that just the tricks that you've seen them do. They're just unbelievably smart. And you know about some of those things. So how did modern man do that? We don't have the evidence there as much as we would like. We're still studying it. But from the characteristics of animals, God made them a delight. They're just a delight, the different things they can do. So that's a good question. I just don't know the answer to it. Thank you, and God bless you.